Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as many know, on yesterday, I had left my Charles Stanley Bible in my car because I used it for a message on Sunday. So I was not able to come out of it, but I came out of a text that we probably will be using on next year, which is from Dr. Tony Evans, which was a New Christian Standard Version. But before we get started in our word today, I want to go back and get some life lessons and examples from yesterday's lesson from Charles Stanley. So let us pray. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble, open hearts, Lord God, ready to receive your word. And we ask that your word permeate our hearts, our minds, and our spirits, that when we finish this lesson, Lord God, we leave it different than when we came, open, hopeful in the future, knowing that all things work for our good, Lord, because we are trusting and believing in you. Father God, I ask for the humble heart, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For you, O Lord God, are my strength. And you, Lord God, are my Redeemer. And Lord, I ask the blessing be added to the reading and the teaching of this holy word. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray for those listening live and those that listen later. Amen, amen, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. For I am your daughter, O God, and you are my father, O God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all blessings come from you. And the word that you gave me this morning was, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. You know, we always want to complain about things not going well. But when they're going well, we forget to thank God. So I say, Lord, thank you, even in the midst of whatever it may be, good, bad, or ugly. Thank you, Lord, because I know everything is for a purpose and for a reason. And so all I can say is thank you, Lord, for the bad, as well as I thank you, Lord, for the good. Amen, amen. And just to get into some life lessons from yesterday's lesson, in Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 7, the scripture says, it may be that they will present their supplication before the Lord, and everyone will turn from his evil way. And Dr. Stanley said in this life lesson for that particular scripture, since we never know when someone has crossed the point of no return, we should always urge men and women to repent and return to the Lord so that he might heal them. I repent. We have to say, Lord, I repent. Whatever I have done, please, God, forgive me and take this, you know, take the pain away. Take whatever is going on. Take it away, Lord, that is not like you. Remove any cankerworms from me, oh God. We got to ask for forgiveness, and then we got to ask God to remove whatever it is that's causing us to be a stumbling block or to have a stumbling block. Remove that stumbling block, Lord. You know, we can be our own worst enemies on many occasions. So we just got to ask God's forgiveness, and we got to repent. And this was a life example from Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 30 and 31 from yesterday's lesson. And it says this, the evil king Jehoiakim of Judah proves that while someone may physically destroy the pages of the Bible, because remember, He decided to tear up the word and burn it. I'm going to cut it up and burn it. And so we understand you can't burn the word. You can't destroy God's word. And what did God do? Redid it. Had Jeremiah redo it and added to it. Come on now. What you thought you was burning up, God added to. And this is what it says. And Dr. Staley says this. The evil king, Jehoiakim, of Judah proves that while someone may physically destroy the pages of the Bible, no one may prevent the fulfillment of even a single word spoken by the mouth of God. His word stands regardless of what men may do. When Jehoiakim heard words of divine judgment pronounced on him and his wicked kingdom, the king took the offending scroll, cut it with the scribe's knife, and cast it into fire that was on the hearth until all the scrolls were consumed. He did so probably to show his contempt for the messenger and to demonstrate his lack of fear regarding the message. But what he didn't understand is you better fear God. God don't play. You can burn up anything you want to, but understand, whatever God says he's going to do, he's going to do, okay? Because what is the saying? What is the word for that? I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. And then as we continue in this word, it says, God let the king's insolence stand for 7 years. But when he refused to repent, the Lord fulfilled every threat that he had made regarding the king. Jeremiah 36:30-31. God always keeps his promises, whether for a blessing or a judgment. Hear that. Sometimes you don't understand. You might be going through judgment when you're going through because you didn't appreciate your blessing when you had it. Come on now. You got to go through to get through. And you got to get through the storm in order to get to the sunlight and the sunshine. You know, like I said on Sunday, that sonic boom of God shook my house, shook my bed, and woke me up and said, like, you know you got an assignment. What you doing? Sleep. Wake up. Get up and do what you assigned to do. And I woke up. I said straight up, like, oh, my God, forgive me. And got on and did what I had to do for God. 7:08, complete new beginning. God don't play. We got to get on board and do what we got to do and understand that God's judgments are always right. Jeremiah 36:24, they were not afraid. Until God actually comes in judgment, it is possible to mock his word and ridicule his servants. Right up until the flood waters arrive, it's possible to doubt his existence until one's own comes into question. You know, folks don't want to believe that God. They don't believe it. They think we're crazy. They think we're believing in fairy tales and rainbows and all of that. They're like, whatever. They probably even believe in unicorns. You know, those people are just so silly. Believing in a resurrected man. Yeah, right. Okay. But all I can say is this. To the non-believers, who to the mockers, the ones that make fun of us and call us all kind of names, when you have to stand before that judgment seat, and God said, why did you mock me? What can you say? I was a comedian. It was just for a laugh. Don't work that way. Then what did one say? I'm ready to go to hell. Okay. Then enjoy your time in the fire because you already claimed it. You know, you can mock us if you want to. You can talk about us if you want to. But I tell you one thing, I'm going to trust and believe in the Most High God, who is the source of my strength, because I know where I could be. I know where I was, and I know what he's brought me through. So don't tell me what my God can't do. Come on now. I know that I know that I know that I serve a mighty and awesome God. And you better get a clue, because God don't play with foolishness. Psalms 119:67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Come on now. how many had to go through to get to understand. I got to keep God's word. It said God uses affliction, not as a whip to force us in line, but as a messenger to urge us back into a safe place. Affliction is a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. Whoa. Wow. What a word. What a word. What a word. And I've seen this. I saw it in my own life. And I've seen it in others. We may think we're going through, Lord, why am I going through this? Why did this happen to somebody I love? Lord, you know, and then God says, I need you to go to work. I need you for an assignment. You know, we think that we're going through. We're not going through anything. There are people in this world that are starving. There are people in this world that are being murdered and killed because of their faith. And we take it lightly in this nation. We take freedom lightly. And we act absolutely ignorant where there are those that wish they could be where we are. There are those that are on our borders right now trying to get in because they know that we have more than they could ever have wherever they come from. But yet we want to whine and complain about everything when we don't realize how blessed and fortunate we are. I didn't mean to preach this morning, but when God gives me a word, I got to say it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, in a lot of times some will depart from the faith. Is God speaking to us today? False teaching and deceptive doctrines have always plagued the church. But the closer we get to the return of Christ, the more prevalent these challenges will become. That is why we must remain diligent. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. Salvation is what we have. Salvation is what we seek. Salvation is what we need. Don't get involved with people teaching garbage because it's out there. Folks will tell you what you want to hear. Everybody who loves God, who will not be prosperous. Everybody's not going to be a millionaire. But God will provide what you need according to his riches in glory, which are, you can't even count. God is a supplier when we trust in him. We got to trust in the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Wow, what a word by itself. Regardless of how old you are or how long you have followed Christ, you can become an excellent example to others by submitting your life to Christ and learning how to rely upon the power and leading of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. The modern church has largely lost the art of pondering God's word, mulling it over, letting it simmer, and focusing prolonged attention on it. But hard thinking remains a crucial piece in becoming more like Christ. We got to, as I say, meditate on this word day and night. And that's our overview from life lessons and examples from our Bible that we are using this year, which is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Bible, Daily Principles for Each Day of the Year. It is a one-year Bible study from Genesis to Revelations where we will finish and complete the entire Bible by December 31st, God willing. And right now we are on October 26th and we're getting ready to start in our word. And we are coming out of Jeremiah chapter 37 and 38, Psalms 119 verses 71 through 80, but we actually will be starting at verse 73 because we read 71 to 72 on yesterday. We will also be in Proverbs chapter 27, verses 22 through 27, and 1 Timothy chapter 5. So let's get started in our word this morning. And I again pray, may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the teaching of this word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And it says in chapter 37 of Jeremiah, and now King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord which he spoke by the prophet Jeremiah. And Zedekiah the king sent to Jeshuchal, the son of Shemaiah, the Zephaniah, and Zephaniah the son of Mishiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now to the Lord our God for us. Now Jerusalem was coming and going among the people. Now Jeremiah was coming and going among the people, but they had not yet put him in prison. So he was prophesying. He was going here and there and everywhere, trying to get folks straight, trying to get folks saved, because that was his assignment. And then it goes on to say, the Pharaoh's army came up from Egypt, and when the Chaldeans who were besieging Jerusalem heard news of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt, to their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, for they will not depart. For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remain only wounded men among them, they would rise up every man in his tent and burn the city with fire. And it happened when the army of the Chaldeans left the siege of Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to claim his property there among the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard was there whose name was Arajai, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he sees Jeremiah the prophet, saying, you are defected to the Chaldeans. Then Jeremiah said, false, I am not defected to the Chaldeans. But he did not listen to him. So Arajah seized Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Therefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. Then he said, you shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Moreover, Jeremiah said to the king, Zedekiah, what offense have I committed against you, against your servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison? Where now are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land? Therefore, please hear now, O my lord the king, please let my petition be accepted before you, and do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread from the baker's street until all the bread in the city was gone. Then Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. And going back to verse 16, when Jeremiah entered the dungeons and the cells, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. And it says this, God never left Jeremiah. And God has never left us either. It says, yet the prophet spent many lonely and discouraging days in his service. Jeremiah's obedience did not translate to instant and obvious blessings. It took faith to believe that God would remain faithful to the end. Hallelujah. It takes faith to know that even when you're going through, and I'm speaking this for myself, even when we're going through and we feel discouraged and we feel like God does not hear me, he is not listening to me, that he is listening, that he does hear, but it's not a time that God does not hear us. It's not a time that God does not understand our pleas. It's not a time that he does not have his angel with us. Somebody is always there watching over you. Just like there's probably a demon watching, there's an angel protecting. God wants the best for us. All we have to do is believe it and trust it and know that our daddy God will not forsake us in any way, in any form. He will always have your back. So understand, if God wasn't with you, things could be a whole lot worse. Hallelujah. Chapter 38 of the book of Jeremiah. Now, Shephatiah, the son of Mattan, Gedaliah, the son of Peshur, Jokal, the son of Shelemiah, and Peshur, the son of Melchaniah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, thus says the Lord, he who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who gives over to the Chaldeans shall live, his life shall be as a prize to him, and he shall live. Thus says the Lord. City shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said to the king, please let this man be put to death. For thus he weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in this city and the hands of the people by speaking such words to them. But this man does not seek the welfare of this people, but their harm. Then Zedekiah the king said, look, he is in your hand, for the king can do nothing against you. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Melchaniah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes, and in the dungeon there was no water but myrrh. So Jeremiah sank in the myrrh. And you know myrrh is nothing but mud, and it could be some other stuff down in it. But it's like being in a mud pit. That is nasty. You can't lay down. You can't sit down, because all it is filthy, nasty mud and dirt, and only God knows what else. And he sunk into that. You think that's through. And he sunk into the myrrh. Gross. And this is what it says in. Now, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. When the king was sitting at the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah, the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is likely to die from hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from here 30 men with you, and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took from there old clothes and old rags and let them down by ropes into the dungeon to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, please put these old clothes and rags under your armpits, up under the ropes. And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with the rope and lifted him out of the dungeon. and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance of the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask you something, hide nothing from me. Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it to you, you will not surely put me to death. And if I give you advice, you will not listen to me. So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord lives, who made our very souls, I will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hands of these men who seek your life. And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you surely surrender to the king of Babylon, princes, then your soul shall live. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's princes, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand. And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews who have defected to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hands, and they abuse me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. Now behold, all the women who are left in the king of Judah's house shall be surrendered to the king of Babylon's princes. And those women shall say, your close friends have set upon you and prevailed against you. Your feet have sunk in the mire, and they have turned away again. So they shall surrender all your wives and children to the Chaldeans. You shall not escape from their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you shall cause this city to be burned with fire. Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, let no one know these words, and you shall not die. But if the princes hear that I have talked with you, and they come to you and say to you, declare to us now what you have said to the king, and also what the king said to you, do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Then you shall say to them, I presented my request before the king, that he would not make me return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then all the princes came to Jeremiah asking, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they stopped speaking with him, for the conversation had not been heard. Now Jeremiah remained in the court of the prisons until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. What God says will happen, will happen. What God says he will do, he will do. What God tells you through his prophet, not the prophet Elias, but through his true prophet, will come to pass. All you have to do is trust in the Lord and do your part by believing through faith all things are possible. And through Christ Jesus, all things are possible. But faith that some of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, we got to have immovable faith, knowing that God will and does provide for his children. He loves us. And he loves us completely and totally with long life. He will give us, God will give us long life when we live according to his purpose and do according to his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I am grateful for the life that I have. I'm grateful for the God that that takes care of me and watches over me. For he is my head. He is my father. He is my friend. He is Jehovah. And I am his daughter. We got to act like we are princes. We got to act like we are queens. We got to act like we are of the court of God. I know I'm a princess because my daddy is the king of kings and lord of lords. My daddy is the father of all mankind. The creator of all the earth and everything therein. The creator of the enormous universe. My daddy did that. We got to start acting like who we are. that we belong in the court of the Lord God. Hallelujah. And that our Savior will be king, that he will sit on this earthly throne, that he will be in charge because he saved our life and saved us from sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And when we go into some life lessons from this Jeremiah 38 word, Jeremiah 38, 7 through 9, these men have done evil in that they have done what they have done, all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet. God will send someone to save you when you are stuck in the muck and the mire. God will send someone to pull you out of the mire, to pull you out of the mud, to pull you out of the stink that's all around you. God will send someone to help you when you feel you've sunk so low that you have nowhere else to go but to die. God will send salvation, and he sent it through his son, Jesus Christ. But in Jeremiah's case, with all Jeremiah's fellow Israelites around him, it took a foreigner. Come on now. You hear that? You know, folks whining and complaining about foreigners coming in. You better understand it might be a foreigner that has to give you a drink of water. And it says, with all Jeremiah's fellow Israelites around him, it took a foreigner, Eben Melek, the Ethiopian, to give him the help he needed. God loves to provide help from unexpected sources so that he gets the glory and not us. Hallelujah. I thank God for the unexpected. I thank God for the help of whomever that he sends into my life to help me, to guide me, to lead me back where I need to go, to stay in my square. Hallelujah. I want to be in the light of God and not falling into the darkness. As we go into this life lesson, Jeremiah 38 and 20, please obey the voice of the Lord. And that's a word for all of us. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you and your soul shall live. That's a word we all need. That's a highlightable. Because God is speaking that to each and every one of us. Please obey the voice of the Lord, which I speak to you, so it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. Praise be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. I say it again. Obedience is always the smart choice. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. The wise choice. The choice of blessing. Obedience always brings blessing. And we bless others when we remind them of this simple fact. And I say this, obedience is better than sacrifice. We got to know that with our whole heart. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God again. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Psalms 119, verse 873. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Ooh, hallelujah. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I am hoped in your word. We got to put our hope in the word of God. I know, oh Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort. Ooh, hallelujah. For my comfort according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. For your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. We all have been lied on. We all have been cheated. We all have been treated horribly in our life. But understand, you don't take that stuff and keep it in your heart. Keep all that unforgiveness all yicked up in you, because all it's going to do is make you sick. All it's going to do is take your life. You got to give that mess to God. And as it say, let the proud be ashamed. Let God deal with them. Let God, every time they think of you, which will be often, let them be ashamed of what they did. God is in charge, and he takes care of his children. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. And I word again this morning. And it is, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. And we got to keep that in our heart. Whenever you get ready to go down the wrong path, just say, Lord, I know your judgments are right. I know your judgments are right. We got to trust God in everything that we do and everything we say. When we trust the Lord, everything else falls into place. And a psalm, a life question that Dr. Stanley asked us this morning. It says, have you ever caught yourself wishing for the good old days? Most of us have. The truth is, however, if we had a chance to travel back to another time, we would find the same problems and traits that confront us now also existed back then. Trials come no matter who you are or what you do. Understand, everybody, your life ain't perfect. It's not. Suffering molds, prepares, and perfects us in a variety of ways. Pressure from without increases pressure within. We feel it as the darkness lingers, the pain increases, and the disappointments goes on and on. In the spiritual realm, however, we do not have to yield to the mounting pressure. We can diffuse it by placing it on the altar of God and allowing him to handle our hurts. Praise the Lord. Suffering beyond our control proves to us that we are not omnipotent. Suddenly, we become acutely aware of an authority higher than ourselves. Someone whose insight and wisdom outrank our own. We need a Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Someone greater than our biggest fear. Someone able to meet all our needs. Only through his grace can we learn the truth concerning suffering. God uses it to help us experience his immense love. Maybe you are facing a time of suffering and you think the emotional pain is more than you can bear. Or perhaps you are dealing with a series of disappointments instead of becoming fearful. A frequent ploy of Satan to pull you away from the will of God. Ask the Lord to show you what he is up to in your life. And this is what Dr. Stanley continues to say. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon wrote, God, I know that soldiers are to be made only in battle. They are not to be grown in peaceful times. We may grow the stuff of which soldiers are made. But warriors are really educated by the smell of powder in the midst of whizzing bullets and soaring cannons. Is he not developing you, the qualities of the soldier, by throwing you into the heat of battle? And should you not use every application to come off conquerors? God throws it at us. He throws a kitchen sink at us so that we learn how to know how to duck and dive when it's time to go into battle. Hallelujah. And this is our proverb for this morning and yesterday. Proverbs 27:22. Though you grind a fool into a mortar with a pistol along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. There are some folks, you know, they'll just go do what they do. They're going to say what they say, and they're not going to care what you got to say. Because they don't have any concept. If they want to be foolish, let them be foolish. If they want to die, let them die. Because you have no heaven to take them to and no hell to put them in. We each are judged by our own actions, by our own words, and what we do. And if we are foolish, then we will have to deal with our own foolishness. Because God does not suffer fools lightly. And as we go into Proverbs 27, verses 23 to 27, it says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. God is speaking to our shepherds now. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herb of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservant. What a word. Thank you, Father God. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and it says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. And so I say to my sisters that are in a mature range as me, if somebody calls you mother, take it with pride. Absorb it and love it, because that is a term of endearment to you, that they see that you have aged gracefully. Ask God, thank you, Lord, for letting me be called a mother. I love being a mother. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I am grateful. God gave me desires of my heart as a mother, as a grandmother. I am blessed, and I say it every day. Thank you, Lord, for my family. And as we go forth, it says, honor widows. I am one of those as well who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. Now she who is really a widow alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. Ooh, all up in my business. And it goes on to say, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man. Hand up, wife of only one man. Well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the younger widows. For when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle. Come on now. Wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. We got to learn to keep our tongues behind our teeth. So many times you get caught up in the muck and the mire of gossip, and we need to learn to shut it down and shut it up, because God is going to hold us accountable. And then to say, hey, these folks out there, single, unmarried, just causing havoc. You got to nip it in the bud, quick and in a hurry. And it says this, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. You know, God wants us to walk in righteousness. He wants us to do what is right in the sight of God. God is in charge of everything. And when we realize that and figure it out, everything else falls into place. And this is the word. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Don't let nobody come to you talking about, well, elder such and such did this. And girl, I know that he was over at sister such and such's house. And I don't know why he calling himself elder, because there's that. You have no idea what you're talking about. That's a gossip. And they're trying to start mess and be messy when you don't understand that elder such and such is a contractor and he was fixing sister such and such's sink. But it wasn't nobody's business but sister such and such and elder's wife, because she called her first and said, can you ask elder to come to my house and fix my sink? And, oh, and what you didn't know was that sister such and such had elder and his wife over. That it wasn't just elder over there, that is him and his wife were there. As he fixed her sink, she had made them a dinner. And they were all at her house. But because you wasn't in the house, all you saw was his car, not knowing that she was entertaining them and he was fixing her sink. You know, we get all caught up in everybody else's business when we don't know what we're talking about. And so now you done put a word out that elder such and such was over at sister's house and that sister and elder must be having something going on, not knowing that elder such and such and his wife were both at the house. Come on now. You got to stay out of people's business and keep your tongue behind your teeth, because you don't know what you say. That's why it says, except from two or three witnesses. Come on now. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. Do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent infirmities. You know, and a lot of folks get upset talking about, oh, girl, they was drinking wine. The word of God just said you can have a little wine for your body's sake. So don't be judging folks. You know, even if you may not drink, you can't be judging somebody that does if they're having a little glass of wine. And I'm not saying I'm drinking a glass of wine, because I'm not. I drink grape juice, but I do love my grape juice. I just tell you like it is. But the bottom line is that we got to get out of the judging business. Because there's only one that is in charge. And again, I know, oh Lord, that your judgments are right. It's not, I know your judgments are right, Sister Susie down the street. Auntie Abubu and them. You know, I'm not saying you right, but I know that God is at all times. That the Lord, your judgments are right. And that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. When we go through, it's because God loves us, but that his judgments are always right. Don't be looking at folks because you want to be like them. You don't know what them may be going through. So you need to stop coveting somebody else's life, because you don't know. You may find out that underneath all the smiles and the giggles is a heart that's broken. You may find out that it is somebody that needs help themselves. Come on now. We got to get out of that. I know what they got, and I want to be like them. I want to be like Mike. You don't know what Mike has got going on. And as we finish up this word this morning, it says, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Likewise, the good works of some are clearly evident, and those are otherwise cannot be hidden. God knows everything we do. He knows everything we say. And he knows our heart, and he knows our mind, and he knows our spirit. And as we finish up this lesson this morning, some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And the first is from 1 Timothy 5 and 4, which I read again. If any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. This goes along with the theme Paul first stated in 1 Timothy 3 and 5. If a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? If Christians don't take care of their families, especially the older members, who will? Therefore, we should honor our widows by caring for them when they cannot take care of themselves. This may sound extremely difficult, and sometimes it will be. However, whatever God calls us to do will be worthwhile and will carry with it unforeseen, abate, priceless blessings. Thank you, Dr. Stanley, for that word. 1 Timothy 5 and 20, those who are single rebuke in the presence of all, those who are sinning rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. And Dr. Stanley says this, Paul is speaking here of church leaders. If they abuse their positions and sin publicly, he instructs Timothy to rebuke them publicly, not to shame them, but to let everyone know that God does not play favorites. Many unbelievers fall into gross sin because they don't know any better. Before his conversion, Paul fell into this category. But someone who knows the truth and refuses to act on it has no excuse. Come on now. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. Some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. Some crimes escape judgment. Come on now, of human beings, but no sin escapes the judgment of God. And I say it again, because we have so many children, so many women, so many people that are missing, that have been murdered, that are unsolved because they lived an alternative lifestyle, or they were just kidnapped off the street, or they were someone who thought they was uppity, or they was this, or they was that, and folks have got away with. You think about this, America. We got a lot of repenting to do of all the black men and women and children hung. And I call it lynched, because that's what they were. They were lynched. And it was a doggone field day for some. Picnics. Come on, dressed in your Sunday best. Being carved up bodies of people of color so that they were a souvenir for a day at a lynching. Come on now. I'm going to call it like it is. We got a lot of repenting to do in this nation because it's a lot of hate and hate-filled rhetoric going around again, and history unknown, it's history repeated. And I'm not talking critical race theory. I'm talking history. History is history. You can't change it. It's already been done. You need to know it so you don't repeat it. That's a word from God. And as the word says, some crimes escape the judgment of human beings, but no sin escapes the judgment of God. Nobody ultimately gets away with anything. If we do not allow Jesus to take away our sins, we will have to bear them ourselves. And that is the word we have for today. I thank God for this mighty, mighty word. And I say it again. I know, oh Lord, that your judgments are right. We give everything to God. And let God be the judge. Let God take care of whatever your situations are. Give it to the Lord and let him handle it. Take it to the throne and not to the phone. I thank God for you this morning. I thank all of you who listened in. And I ask the Lord God to give you strength, to give you wisdom, to give you all the things that you need and more than you could ever ask for. But he is in charge and knows it all. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible for God. And I believe God for that. Whew, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and for your mercy. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for this morning is this. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Come on now. Prayer is a conversation you have with God about things he can change. Have a Tell It to God Tuesday. And I just have to say thank you, Sister Carolyn, because we got to have in our heart, I will not worry. I will pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, God, for our sister in Christ, because this is a right on point word. Don't worry, family. Just pray. Have a blessed day, and may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in Jesus' precious and holy name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. Remember, don't worry. Just pray. And say to yourself, I know. God, put your hand on your heart. I know, oh Lord, that your judgments are right. Whatever you're going through, understand it is God that will bring you through it. He will bring you to it. He will also, if he brings you to it, he will bring you through it. Because understand our absolute ultimate destination is that holy place through that narrow gate where we can sit at the feet of the Savior knowing that all things are good. And there is peace, there is hope, there is joy, there is all the things that we need, everything provided. But understand, you are a child of God, and he loves you. Thank you so much for listening in. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And again, may the Lord add a blessing to the hearing and the reading of this word. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed. It is a wrap.